Chapter 27. Call Da Capo's. Mrs. LaRue's office has its own fireplace, where flames crackle softly. The headmaestro leans on the corner of her desk, fingers steepled. Wink, the music cat, sits on the floor beside her, staring through narrow eyes at the two suited agents who walk through the door, one as slim as a flute, the other as round as a tuba. The first has a stern expression, with her dark hair in a tight bun and her black suit pristinely ironed. The second has a ketchup stain on his collar and a bald spot. They exchange nods with Mrs. LaRue and Miss Mott, then turn to me, Jai, and Darby, who stand in a row, eyes wide. Jai is absent-mindedly sucking on his thumb again. I cough, and he yanks it out. "You just had to tell the adults," Jai whispers. I shrug helplessly. "I'm Agent Rebecca Alvarez," says the lead agent in a crisp tone. Turning back to the head maestro, she flashes a badge with a bronze music note pinned to it. "Maestric Bureau of Investigations. Mrs. LaRue, I presume?" The head maestro shakes her head. "Thank you for coming so quickly." I'm still having a hard time believing that Mrs. LaRue called in the Maestric Bureau of Investigations, the actual MBI. If I could melt into a puddle and soak into the carpet, I would. I'd almost rather face the Necromuse again than these guys. I've seen enough TV to know the kind of people they track down. I'm not sure there is a higher authority than the MBI. It dawns on me in a whole new way just how much trouble I'm in. Agent Alvarez looks around the office. "So, which one of you is Amelia Jones?" I lift a hand, swallowing.
"What? This tiny thing?"
says the other agent, raising his bushy eyebrows.
"A lot of ruckus for someone so short." "I'm Agent Nadim Rahim. Yes, I know, it rhymes. Yes, my parents did do it on purpose. You can call me Agent Ned. Lollipops?"
He produces three yellow lollipops, which we take uncertainly. Jai opens his right away, while Darby pockets hers and I stand there holding mine. Taking out a fourth, Agent Ned pops it into his mouth and winks. Agent Alvarez gives him a sidelong look.
"Let's get straight to business, shall we?"
"Amelia, tell them everything you told me," Mrs. LaRue instructs.
"No detail is too small," adds Agent Alvarez. "I want to know the when, where, why, how, and who."
"What about the what?" Jai asks. "Isn't that the most important one?"
Agent Ned laughs. His partner cuts him a sharp look.
"Yes, that too."
So, for the third time today, I go through the entire story again. Jai and Darby add a few details. Agent Alvarez asks about 100 questions, most of which we can't answer, like, what color socks was Mr. Stewart wearing? And what was the position of the moon in the sky? And how many guests were there? And precisely what flavor were the Madelines the Necromuse offered me? Every time I shrug, she pinches her lips together and makes an angry mark in her notebook. I feel like I'm failing some kind of test. Beside me, I can feel Darby getting madder and madder.
"We weren't there to play detective," Darby snaps, resulting in a tense, glaring contest between her and the agent.
Remarkably, it doesn't end in either of them spontaneously combusting. Agent Ned beams at us.
"Now, now. I'm sure you're all doing your best."
"Are all these details necessary?" asks Miss Mott.
"Everything helps. We've been tracking this so-called Necromuse for years," says Agent Alvarez. "He's considered very dangerous, very slippery. No one knows his real name, and he uses at least a dozen aliases. Deals in illegal spells and items, blackmail, forgery, theft. You name it, he's committed it." "What she means is, every detail does count, on account of us having, not many details to go on," adds Agent Ned. "Always a step ahead of us, this rascal."
"But not for much longer," says Agent Alvarez, viciously underlining something in her notebook. "Though I've never known him to target children in his extortion schemes before."
"Amelia has unique talents," says Mrs. LaRue.
"Yes," says Agent Alvarez, eyeing me. "The little girl with a knack for black spells."
I widen my eyes. "You know about me?"
We keep a file on all musicians known to have meddled with such magic.
I sway on my feet as if I might pass out. The MBI has a file on me?
First offense, you're a minor. You've nothing to worry about, says Agent Ned kindly. But clearly this Necromuse has taken an interest in you, little lady. You did the right thing, telling your teachers.
I nod, looking down again. I'm starting to wonder if maybe I should have kept my mouth shut. Judging by Jai's and Darby's looks when they were hauled into the headmaestro's office, they certainly think so. I dragged them into this mess without warning, which means no doubt that their parents will find out, and who knows what kind of trouble that'll put them in.
You really have no idea who this man is? Asks Mrs. LaRue.
Agent Alvarez squirms a bit.
Well, we've known for some time that he is barred, but we've already cross-referenced every person in the MBI's registry, with no luck. He must have somehow erased all records we or any other agency had on him, and we know that this orchestra of his has been around for decades.
And you've never managed to catch him in all that time, Jai whistles.
He's good.
Agent Ned nods, looking tired, while Agent Alvarez looks at Jai like she's thinking of arresting him.
Anyway, she says, it seems our guy is intent on getting a spell out of Miss Jones here. I say we use that to our advantage.
Miss Mott's eyes narrow.
What do you mean? We'll set a security detail around Miss Jones until he makes his move. Then we'll make our move and finally put this guy away for good.
A trap, says Mrs. LaRue with a disapproving quirk of her lips. With Amelia as bait.
Bait?
I don't like the sound of that. Not one little bit.
We will be ready to spring into action before he lays a finger on the girl,
Agent Alvarez assures us.
With Miss Jones's help, we can bring this criminal to justice at last.
And I can finally take my vacation to Patagonia, adds Agent Ned wistfully. Nobody asks me what I think, which, given how big a part of this plan involves me, I find a little rude. But that's how it goes with adults. Tell them the problem, and they'll take all the power to fix it out of your hands. I remind myself that that's what I wanted.
We're attempting to contact her legal guardian, says Agent Alvarez.
Gran is on a cruise, I say. She sent me a postcard from Malta saying she dropped her phone overboard.
I'll speak for Amelia until her grandmother can be reached, adds Mrs. LaRue. We'll do whatever we have to keep Amelia safe.
Of course, of course. But Agent Alvarez doesn't look very interested in my safety. She looks like a hungry lioness contemplating an antelope.
What about the trials, I ask, and my fire dragon spell?
Mrs. LaRue's nostrils flare slightly.
Though it pains me to think of Mistwick performing anything less than ethical, we will proceed, and you will play your fire dragon spell in the Composium.
Agent Alvarez nods.
Yes, you'll do everything as you normally would, so the target doesn't get suspicious. We will accompany you, of course, to the trials.
Right. Because they want him to come after me. Because I'm bait.
Sounds exciting, says Agent Ned, rubbing his big hands together. Love a little interscholastic competition, I do. We'll cheer for you from the stands, but, you know, silently. On account of us being undercover and on duty and all that.
What about us? Asks Jai, waving his lollipop.
Darby and I went to see the orchestra too. Do we get a security detail?
Sure, bud,
says Agent Ned, giving Jai a fist bump.
Cool. Can I get sunglasses like yours?
Sure. I don't see why.
Nobody gets sunglasses,
Agent Alvarez interrupts, exasperated.
Agent Rahim, may I remind you we are not here to make friends?
We'll keep an eye on each of you kids, but the Bureau can only spare the two of us for this job.
Stick together as much as you can, no sneaking off. And of course, keep this between the three of you, hmm?
We don't want to tip the target's hand. No one, and I mean no one, outside this room should know about any of this.
Darby looks at me, and I look away, still unable to speak to her. How are we supposed to stick together without Mia going ballistic?
If that will be all, agents, says Mrs. LaRue,
We leave for the trials in the morning, so we have packing to do.
Agents Alvarez and Ned nod and shake her hand before leaving.
We will be nearby, Agent Alvarez adds as she goes out the door. If you kids see anything, and I do mean anything, out of the ordinary, find us. He could send you a letter, emails. He could have someone working on the inside, for all we know. Anything out of the ordinary, we want to know about it. Understood?
Does she know this is Mistwick? Jai murmurs to me out of the corner of his mouth. We'll be tugging their sleeves every 5 minutes. Mrs. LaRue dismisses us at last, and we leave with sighs of relief. I check the clock as we go out. We've been up here for hours.
Wait a moment, Amelia,
Miss Mott calls out. I wave to Jai and stop on the landing outside the headmaster's office. Darby looks up at me, her brow furrowed, as if she's about to ask a question. Or maybe to explain why she told Mia everything. We still haven't spoken to each other since the ice spell froze the school. But Miss Mott arrives then, and Darby lowers her head and goes without a word.
Now that that's all settled,
says Miss Mott,
why don't you and I have a chat?
We walk down the stairs, which are open to the great front windows of Harmony Hall. There's not much of a view today. The mountains are hidden behind a thick wall of gray clouds. Sparse snow flurries drift softly through the air.
Before all this necromuse business, Miss Mott says, we were discussing something else.
We were? She puts a hand on my arm.
Your dad, Amelia.
Oh, yeah, I guess. We don't really need to talk about that anymore.
Is that so?
I was just upset about the earworms and the midnight orchestra and all that. I brush my hair behind my ears, but I'm fine, really.
Are you?
She stops me, a hand on my shoulder.
Amelia, it's not your fault that your father left you.
My stomach clenches, and I start taking the stairs faster, one step ahead of her. I know, of course.
Amelia?
I need to go pack for the trials. Leaving in the morning, you know.
Amelia!
I stop at the bottom of the steps and look up at her. She leans on the balustrade, her eyes probing. He's gone, Miss Mott, I say, and I never have to deal with him again. So why waste any more words, any more thoughts on him? He's ancient history. I'm fine. I rush out the front doors before she can say another word.